It's time for the North Shore Sports Desk on MSO News Sports. We bring you the latest in high school sports news from all across the North Shore. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the K-Band Savings Bank, Cranny Self Storage in Danvers, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And Sun and Air, the North Shore's premier golf practice facility. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. How's it going, everybody? Weekly show on MSONewsSports.com. Glad you can join us. Let's waste no time. Hey, listen, it's pretty clear what is going to be my super moment.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
Time for the Super Sub Super Performance of the Week.
That's right. The Super Sub Shop Super Performance of the Week. We are going with the same thing we did last week. There were three state championships on the line for North Shore teams in hockey alone. And we said that was a Super Sub Super Performance of the Week, that the fact that they got to the Garden on Sunday, March 17th, on St. Patty's Day, and they all delivered. St. John's Prep, your state champs in Division One for boys. Marblehead, your Division III state champs for boys, and St. Mary's, your Division III girls hockey state champs for girls, keeping a long, long streak of state titles alive every year for that school. There's at least one in multiple years. I'll get the exact number of times later. But yeah, a clean sweep in hockey. It was a great year for hockey on the North Shore. Getting a lot of love at the Garden for the North Shore, and it was great to see. It was absolutely great to see in three fantastic games, all by one goal. St. John's Prep winning it in regulation at the end against Winchester, the public school that could. And then Marblehead, 1-0 over Nauset, the number one seed. It was a goal in the beginning of the game. Like 4:41 into the game, and that was it. That's all Marblehead needed. 1-0 shutout. And the ladies from St. Mary's finishing things off for the North Shore. 2-1 win over Archbishop Williams in overtime. That was a semifinal. 5-4 win over Notre Dame Hingham in three overtimes. Yes, that was St. Mary's girls hockey's path to the state championship. They were the number two seed. Notre Dame was the number one seed. And it avenged last year's loss for St. Mary's in the same place. So to go back to where they were last year in a losing effort, come back 365 days later and get it done. I love that. I just love the grit. You know, three great stories, you know, St. John's Prep. And now, you got the GOAT of North Shore hockey, really, with Christian Hansen, the coach, three state championships, you know, with the same team, only one to do that, you know, on the North Shore. It's just been an incredible run for him and his teams at St. John's Prep. So, man, exciting hockey, getting it done. Basketball was shut out for the North Shore this year, but lots to talk about. We have two guests. We're going to start with the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month. He is going to be Jake Vanna from St. John's Prep. And then after him, we'll talk to Joe McConnell, who's a great guest because Joe was the sports editor for the Marblehead Reporter in 2011 when Marblehead last won a boys hockey title under Bobby Jackson. They did it again in 2024. 13 years later, Joe's still plugging away local journalism. He is now a sports reporter at the new Marblehead Current, been a paper for a year or two now in Marblehead. So fascinating perspective from him. And then we'll just wrap things up with a couple talking segments. But Super Sub, thank you. Paul Guanti and the gang, yes, we were at Super Sub on Saturday, March 16th, and we got a chance to talk to some amazing athletes, student athletes in Super Sub at 324 Cabot Street. We're going to be posting the videos from that sometime shortly, so stay tuned for that. Lots of fun. Get videos with Paul Guanti, the owner, talk about 54 years in the business for that Super Sub shop. And he delivered three cheesesteaks for me and my family, and my dog too, because of course he had a lot of those scraps. Oh my goodness. It was just hit the spot that day. On Saturday when I brought them home, they were still fresh. I just zapped them in the microwave real quick, and just the cheese. Where the cheese meets the steak is just a marriage made in heaven. You gotta come out with that cliche. All right. So 978-927-4788 is the number for Super Sub. We're gonna take a break. And as promised, on the other side, catching up, Jake Vanna, probably the GOAT of North Shore athletes. I mean, he's got to be in the conversation. Six state titles for him, with one more chance to get number seven if the prep lacrosse wins another one, their fourth in a row. That would be seven, Tom Brady-like, right? Jake Vanna, after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Keep drinking, chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Up next, the Morning Ham Lumber.
Morning Ham? The Morning Ham.
Why don't you just say it, Dom?
That's a good one.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro, back at it. This is our Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month. And I waited to have him on because I knew that his team was surging towards the Boston Garden on St. Paddy's Day. It's Jake Vanna, St. John's Prep Hockey. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Pleasure to have you on. I'm like, I'm waiting for Sunday, St. Paddy's Day. I know the prep is going to be there in the Garden. And there they were, taking on Winchester, final two teams in Division One. Prep wins it 2-1. Johnny Ty gets the game winner with like no time left, or maybe some might argue is different amount of time on the clock. Controversy doesn't matter. It was call the goal. You guys won it. You was in the right spot. Let's start right there. Well, first of all,
yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. it's surreal. It's surreal.
Yeah. Let's put that in perspective first before we get into the nitty gritty. I mean, this is your second state title with the hockey team.
Uh-huh.
You got three with lacrosse. You have one with soccer. Now, my math, Jake, says that by the time June rolls around, if you win another state title, you will be tied with Tom Brady for championship. Seven. Yeah. That's insane. Like, have you even given it like thought with what you've accomplished on your teams?
I don't know. It's hard to take a break sometimes just because the way it's scheduled, it's just season to season to season. So you never really have time to stop and reflect. But I guess the one thing I would say is that since I play three team sports, I think it says a lot more about the teammates I've had and the coaches I've had. Because, we haven't won every single season. So especially the losses, you kind of realize that it takes the whole team. And it takes a special group of guys to win and where everyone has to buy in. And so I just am super grateful for the teammates I've had. I've had a ton of great seniors, especially when I was younger, who showed me the ropes and showed me how to win and showed how to bring a team closer together when it matters the most in the playoffs. So I'd say the credit goes to all my teammates. I've had a great, unbelievable school who put us in a great spot with our strength and conditioning program. They give us everything we need to succeed. So I'm just in a great situation with a lot of great people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you put yourself in that position, you know, with how hard you work in the off season and stuff. Not that you have much of an off season. You play three sports. In fact, we're interviewing on Monday, March 18th. Was that day one for lacrosse, or did they give you a day off?
Yeah, I got the day off today. I mean, Coach Pinchon's nice enough. I mean, I don't even know how many days I'm going to practice this week just because our first game isn't for another 2 weeks. And he's super good about the body and how to rest and take care of it, just to peak when we need to. But I definitely got the day off today, maybe tomorrow. But then we'll be back to work on Wednesday going for another state title. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So second in 3 years for you to finish out your prep career at hockey. Mm-hmm. You're from Boxford. So, the family is like the pride of Masco. Mom. Yeah. Won this award in 94. Tell us mom's name and what she won it for.
Yeah. So, her full name is Rebecca Blazer. She won it cause she did a soccer, track and, basketball.
Yeah.
And, from as far as I know, she was unbelievable. I mean, Phil Stacey tells me about it all the time, but, I don't know if she ever won a state title, but she got to the finals in soccer, which I know at the time was super impressive for Masco. And she was one of the best basketball players in the state. And I mean, you could just tell it's not even her accolades or anything. She's an unbelievable person. One of the best role models I could ever ask for. Always super kind, no matter what mood she's in. And through her work ethic every day, waking up at 5, getting home at like 7, I can tell why she was so successful in her sports, just because of her work ethic's unmatched. And she's just a great human being overall. And I couldn't have asked for a better role model.
Is she the one that's involved with the Mass PGA?
Yeah, she was for a long time. Yeah, okay. She retired a couple of years ago, I think in 2018, I want to say she switched jobs. But yeah, she was a part of Mass Golf for a long time.
Yes, all right. I remember her name in the inbox for, hey, Mass PGA is doing this. Mass PGA, I remember for sure. Is there any other siblings in the family for you, brothers and sisters that are also athletes?
So I have a younger sister, Molly Vanna. She goes to Governor's Academy down in Newbury, Mass. And she plays, so she used to swim, but her two main sports are soccer and lacrosse.
Okay.
And not to like toot her horn, but she's unbelievable. She works super hard at it. She's training two training sessions a day during soccer, adding on to lacrosse. So she's awesome. She's in a recruiting process right now for both sports. So we're wishing the best for her on those days. Hopefully some good schools reach out, but she's unbelievable. She works so hard and she's just inspiring to watch. Cause I mean, some days you can tell she's tired, but she still goes to practice anyway, works it out, plays through injuries. So she's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. Let's take us to the garden on Sunday, Winchester, upstart team, hot as heck, facing the big mighty St. John's Prep. It's the public versus the private, but you can't get any better than this this result. And matter of fact, I'm sure a lot of people are rooting for Winchester because this public versus privates, there's always that argument every year. I'm like, guys, it's reality. There's private schools and there's public schools in MIAA play. They all are sanctioned to play. They're all playing hockey. So you have to take me to the final few seconds. You're there, Ty's there, he deposits the puck, no time left. Take us to those final seconds.
It was kind of one of the craziest scenes ever because there was probably a minute, 8 seconds left and we just got off the ice, but then we actually called a timeout. So then we kind of went right back out there after. So we had the offensive zone face off. We ended up losing it. And then it ended up, we got a high stick. So then it went down to their end with like 50 seconds. And then all of a sudden our mindset from trying to win the game to be like, oh no, just don't let up a goal here. Like, let's get to overtime.
Yeah.
Because there's only 50 seconds. We had a defensive zone face off. And then I kind of forget how it happened. We ended up getting the puck down. We had another offensive zone face off and we drew up a play where we wanted to draw back to Johnny and get a shot. And so we ended up doing that, but it got blocked out front. And then Plaza actually made an unbelievable play where they tried to clear it. And Plaza could easily just let it go because there were 7 seconds left on the clock. And we're going to go to overtime. We're going to try to win this game. Instead, he makes the risk and he gets the puck, keeps it in, shoots it on net. It was actually a great shot low. It kind of went between my legs. And all of a sudden, I turned around and the goalie knocked it right to Johnny. And he made no mistake about it. And it was just one of the craziest thing I've ever seen. Just how loud it was, the emotion, seeing that whether there's 0.2 on the clock, 0 on the clock, whatever it was. It was just one of the craziest moments ever. And I couldn't be more happy for all the seniors because it ended up being 5 seniors on the ice when it happened. And so it's just a super special moment. Yeah. And Plaza, who transferred from Danvers High School last year, Doherty, who's been on the team since his sophomore year, and then me, Rosa, and Johnny on the ice. So it was just unbelievable. Yeah. It was so awesome for Johnny too. all his hard work since freshman year, battled through a lot. And then for him to end his career like that, it's pretty special to watch.
Yeah. Out of those seniors, like, who's the two-time champs now? I know you are.
Yeah. So we have, since sophomore year, I believe it's me, Johnny, Christian Rosa, Jack Doherty, and then Cam Umlo was on the team as a sophomore as well.
Nice.
So us four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading, I'm reading Phil Stacey, who you mentioned earlier. He's the Salem News sports editor. And he points out that Christian Hansen's the first boys hockey coach in North Shore history to win three state titles. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awesome. That's an awesome stat. Thanks. I mean, you know, Christian coming from Salem, you know, was not a big hockey town, obviously. And then he goes to the prep, which is known for its hockey, obviously. And he just, you know, talk about Christian Hansen's program. You've been in it for 4 years, right? You finished up 4 years with him.
Yeah. It's been an awesome 4 years. I mean, even it speaks for itself. I mean, the funny thing is, so my uncles went to St. John's, and I believe they won it in, I don't want to make them sound too old, but I think it was 86. Maybe was the time.
So 85.
Yeah. So then 15. So then there was a 30-year gap between when the two state championships were from 2015 to 1985. So it just speaks to how much he's built this program and how a lot of kids want to go to St. John's to play hockey, to play under such a great coach. And I mean, it's tough sometimes. He talks about it because St. John's, you get a lot of the best kids. There's a lot of egos going on. And sometimes when you have egos colliding, that's when teams lose. But winning three state championships, becoming the first coach to ever do that, just speaks to how hard the whole staff works. I mean, Coach Hansen's the head coach, but I mean, Coach Hennessy's doing film lists every day. Coach Tash is always trying to find ways to make our defense better. Coach Hentosh is always drawing up offensive zone faceoffs and everything. So our whole coaching staff, I mean, they said they would do a disservice to us if they weren't working as hard as we were. So it speaks to what they've done building this program up over time and winning three state championships in the last 9 years. Yeah. It's just incredible to see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm doing the math here. So the 21 season, that was the, was there even a winter tournament? No, it was like a,
it was an in-conference one.
Yeah.
So we ended up losing to, unfortunately, Catholic Memorial my freshman year in the Catholic Conference semifinals, I guess, so to say. And then
they
went on to lose to Xaverian in the conference finals. So there was no state title. There was only a mini conference one, which still holds a lot of pride. And I still wish we won that one because I think we could have. But no, there was no state title my freshman year.
Yeah. But you finished your career playing at least, you probably played more games in the Garden than there's just the two state titles, right? Or was that the only time you played on the Garden yourself?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we came out just short my junior year, which we were a super talented team that year. A lot of great seniors. It was one of those games where we needed to be our best, and it just, they showed up, they played well, and we just didn't have it. But that happens. It didn't speak to anything against any of our team that day. Just sometimes sports are crazy, and the one game we got shut out was our last game of the season, which stinks, but that just fueled us for this year.
Yeah. Wow. That says a lot about the program to come back like that, the way it did. And I love that. I love when you lose that at the highest level and then you come back and just get past that mark and get it done 365 days later on St. Patty's Day weekend. That's when it happens. You know, talk about Jake, you know, the fact that you were, Jake Van is here. He's a Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month and another state championship in his belt, sixth for him in high school. It's incredible. You know, talk about the what you tried to instill to those kids that didn't play in a previous state title. Like you said, the Brady kid, Plaza, what came from Danvers.
Yeah.
You know, about the whole hype and the hoopla and walking into the Garden and the locker rooms and not getting too overwhelmed, that you got to play on a sheet of ice and you got to do your thing. Like, what was the mentality for you and your fellow seniors coming into the game?
Yeah, to be honest, the funny part was I don't think I've ever played a public school in a semifinal or final game. And so even for me, the hype was a little different. Like on social media, it was going crazy. There's hype for the publics. Even other towns are chipping in saying, hey, we're rooting for you.
Take them down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All that, like for the publics and the t-shirts and signs and stuff at the restaurants. So it was kind of new territory for me, but I kind of enjoyed it a little bit, the hype and everything, just because that's what high school sports are all about, the hype. But we try to instill that. I mean, we talked about all the time. It's 200 by 85. The ice is the same. The boards are the same. You're playing with the same guys you've been playing with all year. And the lights might be a little brighter and there might be a little more people there. But if you look at it in terms of, hey, we're here to do a job. We're here to play the same way we've been playing all year. We're here to play with the same guys you've been playing with every single day in practice and games. Then it's nothing new. In the end, it's just another day. Because the bottom line is, the best part about playing a state championship is that win or lose, there is no tomorrow. Like, you're not really playing for anything else outside of just giving it your best that one day and hoping you get lucky and win. So we just try to instill that it's just another day. Keep your cool. And most importantly, have fun. Because when you're playing stressed and tight, that's when you play your worst. And so when you're playing loose and having fun, that's when your team's thriving, playing confident. So we try to emphasize, just do everything together. Same ice, same thing we've done every single day of the season. Nothing changes.
Yeah. And for all this, Jake Vanna, all the success on the athletic field, you have to maintain it, the success in the classroom too. And, you know, clearly you've done it, you know, A minus or above in all your courses, 25 out of 26 quarters. That's the numbers I have on you for when you won the Moynihan, they reported, you know, numerous awards and accolades academically, and you head into Princeton and you're going to be a lacrosse player. So it's such you know, talk about some of the things you're focusing on academically. Like what's the path at Princeton you're going to take academically if you've carved out ones yet?
Yeah. So I'm kind of just going in blind, to be honest with you. I think the good thing about a liberal arts school, there's so many opportunities where I don't really need to know what I need to do. It's not like I'm going into a business school or a fine arts school where I kind of need to know what I'm doing, in terms of I can just go in, take my classes freshman year, take the requirements, see what I kind of like. And then sophomore year is the year you have to choose, but a year and a half is plenty of time, I think, to find your interest and find what you love. I mean, the ideal thing one day is to work for ESPN. And so communications is kind of like that route in terms of being able to write journals, report on things, and talk like publicly on talk shows. I don't think they have communications as a major, but I mean, learning how to write, learning how to read are all things that you can like do at Princeton, enhance your skills. So to be honest, just going in blind, see what I like, see what I enjoy. And hey, if like maybe I have a different passion, then I'll just go there. But in terms of just being open-minded, working my hardest at everything I do and see what happens.
Yeah. And that's not a bad place to be if you want to get some ESPN love, because I know Princeton lacrosse gets plenty of that. What do they want? Six state titles since like the 90s? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
State titles, national titles, of course. I got state titles on my mind with Jake Vanner on the horn here. But, you know, I mean, you're gonna get all that attention and stuff. So what's you know, have you got a sense of what freshman year looks like for you at Princeton? Is it like an opportunity to earn a spot in a regular position? Like where are you feeling for where you're going to end up there?
Yeah, it's actually funny. So my senior captain, Michael Kelly, he's actually at Princeton right now. So he'll be a senior when I get there. So he's kind of told me a lot about what's going on, what's the deal, what they prioritize, how I manage my time, what the lacrosse team is like. So I don't get a head start, but I get a good idea of what I need to do to prepare myself to get in there. But in terms of the playing time freshman year, they're a team competing for a national championship every year. So they constantly get good guys, good guys, good guys. And that's what the coach told me when I went to visit the school. He's like, hey, we're not here to offer your spot freshman year guaranteed. Like you have to work for your spot. You have to earn it because it's super competitive. And we want the guys to go on the field to know that they've earned it and they're ready to go. And that's kind of what you want. I mean, it's nice to hear and it's super, it makes you feel good when the coach is like, hey, you're going to be playing freshman year, starting guaranteed. Like, don't need to work for it. It's fine. But I kind of like the idea where I have to work for it, earn my spot, because that just makes it feel that much more rewarding. And even if I don't play, there's so many upperclassmen who I can learn from. And so maybe sophomore year is my time. But I like the idea of competing and earning what you have. So it'll be exciting. It'll be fun. It won't be easy, but that's the fun part about it.
Yeah. And what town is your former buddy who plays at Princeton now? What town's he
from? Michael Kelly. He's from Marblehead.
Oh, nice. Okay. Some good news there, right? Marblehead with the state title. Did they win it right before you guys got on the ice?
Yeah, right before. Yeah. So yeah, we have a couple of Marblehead guys in our locker room. Jack Doherty, Marblehead native, all of his buddies. I mean, even before our game, so we have TVs in the locker room at TD Garden, and they were playing on the big screen. I could see him every time just peeking over like, hey, what's the score? Like looking back constantly. And it just meant so much. I mean, that story is unbelievable. Starting 0-6 and being, I think, 2-8 at one point. And then ended up being the sixth seed and winning. That's one of the most unbelievable stories I think I've seen in high school sports.
It is.
I know a couple of guys on the team. I know a lot of my friends who go to the prep are from Marblehead. And I was just so happy for them, especially seeing like Jack, who doesn't even play for Marblehead, was probably happier than they were, to be honest. Yeah. So it's a crazy, crazy underdog story. And I'm just happy for him.
Yeah. So it's Jack Doherty. Who's the other Marblehead kid from us on the prep? Do you remember?
I believe Ryan Finn is from Marblehead, but okay.
All right.
I don't know if he has too many ties to the kids on the team, but he's from Marblehead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground here, Jake Vanna. Lastly, what we didn't discuss was the prep in lacrosse. I mean, you did get that the days off in the early tryout days here, but Your fact is you're going to be ready to go a couple weeks. Eagles will be playing. April is the big start of the season. So, you know, what are the prospects there going for title number four in a row, right?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think this year, especially looking at our schedule, looking at the guys we have on our team, it's going to be the most difficult year in terms of our schedule. I think this is the hardest schedule we've had in program history in terms of we're scrimmaging ISL schools before the season. We tried to stack up the best possible games we could in the MIA conference, and then also our out-of-schedule conference is harder than it's ever been. We're playing LaSalle, who's won the state championship in Rhode Island the last like 10 years. We're playing Staples, who shocked the world a couple years ago and won the Connecticut state championship. And then we're playing IMG Academy from Florida, who's nationally known, and we're playing them over April break. So that'll be a really fun game. We're excited. We don't want it to be easy because easy is not fun. Earning everything. We have a great junior class, a lot of commits, and then we have a lot of seniors ready to go who haven't really played the first 3 years, but I think a lot of them are going to see the field a ton this year. So a lot of guys to prove. We're still super hungry. We want to win, and our schedule is going to be harder than it's ever been, but we're ready. We're going to train super hard and hope for the best.
Jake Vanna going for state title number 7 as he closes things out for St. John's Prep, the Boxford resident. Mm-hmm. The Masco family ties, great North Shore story, the Vannas are. And we congratulate you on state title number 6 and Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month Award. That's no joke. Good luck in the spring with the Eagles. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one, Jake. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro back at it with our next guest. Joe McConnell, sports reporter extraordinaire for the Marblehead Current, coming off a tremendous day for the Headers. Another state title, 1-0 over Nauset, whatever the hell you pronounce them. St. Paddy's Nauset. Day in the Garden, Nauset. What's going on, Joe?
Not much. It was a long day yesterday, a long night, getting up the stories, the videos and all that, but it was well worth it.
So you got to watch Marblehead do its thing, get the interviews, then did you go back up to the 9th floor and file the story while St. John's Prep was finishing off its state title?
Well, not really filing the story so much as doing updates and then filing the complete story when I got home after I transcribed the quotes from the videos.
Oh, nice. But yeah, so it's it was a great day for the North Shore, actually. St. Mary's girls hockey wins it. Marblehead boys hockey wins it. St. John's Prep wins another one. Two out of three now. But Marblehead, yeah, big story. Yeah,
because that St. Mary's will win, you know, into triple overtime, pushed all these other games back. So Marblehead was supposed to get on the ice at 3 o'clock and got on the ice about 4:30.
Oh,
and so basically delayed everything up by 9 minutes.
So that means Tewksbury in the finals against Boston Latin. Yeah, that was probably 9 o'clock. Tewksbury versus Boston Latin.
As I was leaving the place on the third floor, they were just getting ready.
Yeah,
on the ice about 8:30 last night.
Let's break it down. First state title since 2011. For Marblehead, they are two-time state champs now since the 2010s, the only Northeastern Conference team to do that. The only other Northeastern Conference state title was Beverly in 2014? So
that's correct.
What a run. New coach, Bobby Jackson won it last time, and was it Mark Marfione? How do you pronounce his name? Coach now? Marfione?
Marfione, yeah.
Yeah.
The Reading guy.
Reading guy, okay. Tell me about this team, Joe. I mean, it took one goal, and the funny thing is two underclassmen. You got a junior goalie that gets the shutout, and a sophomore that gets the lone goal.
Well, that pretty much sums it up right there, because this team was only had 6 seniors on it, and even a senior captain, Hogan Senke, made a mention of that to me as far as. After the game, during one of the video interviews I did, and he mentioned how important they were throughout the course of the season, but mainly he brought up the mental approach that they took. Even after they were winless in December, they never lost faith in themselves. They knew that they had the capabilities to come back.
Junior Leo Burge got the job done in net, 32 saves, according to your Marblehead current report. From the state title, and it was who was the sophomore that got the goal?
Evan Rodowski.
Amazing.
And actually, like I said, he wasn't on the team last year, and he was on the same line with Kyle Hart, and he has a new line mate. He impressed the coaching staff well enough in the preseason to put him on the highest scoring line that Marblehead has, and they did not disappoint, because Kyle Hart, he's only a junior too. Went on to lead not only the North Shore, but probably the whole state in scoring throughout the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he had like 48 points throughout the season and all that, and then he had his most important 48 point on Sunday.
Yeah. And the run was incredible, Joe. I mean, the amount of goals Marblehead let up in their 5-game postseason run, perfect run that they had all the way to the Garden. That defense was incredible. And off the air, you and I talked about the differences between the 2011 state championships. You were covering them for the Marblehead Reporter. Now you're covering them for the Marblehead Current. These two teams are pretty different. I mean, it was the exploding offensive team that got the job done, right, in 2011?
Oh, yeah. Your captain back then was Jay Kulovich. He was one of the high-scoring forwards on that team. He went on to Colgate and had a career in professional hockey with the American Hockey League, Bakersfield team, which is affiliated with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
And that basically relied on a lot of offense. This team relied on defense led by the goaltender, Zoe Junior, Leo Burge. I mean, in 5 state tournament games, he gave up a total of 5 goals.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't score that third goal off him, chances are you're going to lose. And even if you score a second goal off him, like Foxborough did, you're still going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, he was phenomenal throughout the tournament, no question about it. I mean, like all good goalies, he benefited from the post a few times, but that's going to happen in hockey. I mean, if you have everything going for you, you're going to get some breaks too along the way.
Yeah, 100%. And Radovsky's goal there, that came 4:41 into the game. So, what is it, 15-minute periods for hockey? Yeah, 15, right? So 11. So you're like, you're at like 41 minutes of scoreless hockey after that. It must have been super intense, but, you know, take me to that goal. What do you remember about, you know, that game-winning goal, the historic goal for the Headers?
No, I basically remember that it basically was a wraparound type of goal. And, you know, he set it up at one end of the net, and he skated around the back of the net and popped it home. And his speed, being softball and all that, that's the reason why he's on that line, paid off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talked about, you know, the mental approach with this team, because, I mean, I can't imagine being that down in the dumps, six straight losses to start the season, 2-8 at one point, and they just rip it off after that. I mean, they just were pretty much unstoppable from that point on. I mean, you want to say they weren't it's a big upset. They beat the number one seed, but man, they might've been playing the best hockey in the state of any division.
Oh, no question. I mean, you know, like I said, as soon as the calendar flipped to 2024, they were the best team. They went 12-3-1 for the rest of the regular season after starting the season 0-6. Yeah. I mean, people look at their record and say, why are they the sixth seed? Why? Because they play good competition and their phenomenal record for the last 2 months of the season, no question. You know, you talk about the mental approach to the game. It's like Håkan Senki, the senior captain, he was the captain of the team last year as well. You know, he was saying that, you know, we're not supposed to win these games. We're talking about against Shawshin, Scituate, and now last night, yesterday, against Narset. You know, because they're the first, second, and third seeds in Division III.
Yeah.
But then he said, but that doesn't mean we couldn't win those games. That's the mental approach. They said, okay, they were the underdogs on paper, but they took the mental approach that they couldn't win those games. They could win those games. You know, like you said, it doesn't mean that we couldn't win those games. And that's the reason why they came out on top. They were able to win those tight games. And when you can win those tight games, 2-1 against Scituate down the Cape, they had to go from Marblehead all the way down to Bourne to play that game. You know, that's a long trip. And it was a happy trip back, obviously.
Yeah.
But they got off to a 2-0. They got a 2-0 lead. And just took care of it from there behind Leo Burgess' performance again in that, you know. And then they came back home again, a little bit closer to home at Storm Arena, and they beat Shawshin 2-1. I mean, and that game went back and forth and was dramatic all the way to the end when Shawshin would pull their goaltender. And not only Leo Burgess was sensational in that, but he also got some help from his defense by, you know, they would just fly across the net just to block shots. I mean, they would do anything possible to keep that puck out of the net.
Here with Joe McConnell, sports reporter, Marblehead Current. And yeah, it's been a couple of good years for the Marblehead boys, right? I mean, you got, the basketball team is on the rise and the football team won a state title a few years ago, hockey winning a state title. So it's some good vibes over there.
I kind of equate the Marblehead success story going back to 2009 when they hired Jimmy Redlock to take over the football program. And basically that had an effect on the rest of the programs as well. And you have some good coaches over there. Of course, Paul Moran in girls basketball, but probably one of the most unheralded coaches on the North Shore is Mike Giotti. I mean, he coaches three teams. He's the offensive coordinator in football and he's a varsity coach in boys basketball and baseball. And his teams are always in it to the end. And also, when they get to the postseason, they're capable of pulling off the upset as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have some good coaches. And 2009 seemed to be the point of demarcation, as they say. Because since then, take a look at their record, boys, girls, whatever. And it all stems from the hiring of maybe Jimmy Redlock created the opportunities for other coaches to get involved in Marblehead because they see the success in the athletic program. And ever since then, you know, Marblehead has kept a lot of their good athletes in town. And that's the reason why if they don't win a state championship, they're very damn close to it.
Yeah. And what impressed me, I think you pointed this out in your piece, is that like they beat teams that they lost to earlier, right? I mean, like Shawshin Tech beat Marblehead 4-1 on February 15th, and then they turn around and they beat them in the tournament. You know, they lost to Medford early, and then they beat them. And it's just, they just showed resilience time after time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Coach Maffioni said it after the game last night, you know, 7 out of the 9 opponents that they lost to early in the season, they beat. And one of those teams that they did not beat the second time around, they tied, happened to be Danvers, 3-3.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that they only set up a tie against Danvers. And he said there was only really one totally no-show type of game, and that was against Essex Tech at when they lost 7-0 to Essex Tech. And that's when you get a little tough on the team. You know, kind of sat down as juniors and seniors in that game and played as freshmen and sophomores and all that. Because, you know, but then again, it was a wake-up call for them. And guess what? It paid off.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's those moments that kind of, you know, formulate a successful season. I mean, you know, by all rights, if you look back on it, how did they lose to Essex Tech 7-0? Well, like he said, that was probably the only no-show game that they had.
Yeah, right. A smoke show there. And to come back for something like that, that was when they had that opening streak there, and it was part of one of their 6 losses, it looks like. But, man, you know, what's going to happen in town in Marblehead this week? You know, this comes out on Thursday, Joe. Is there any parades? I mean, how does Marblehead celebrate a state title these days?
Well, let's put it this way. You know, I talked to Kyle Hart. I mean, basically, you know, I just tried to get some information out of them last night after the game, you know, where the party's going to be at. Some of them said, you know, don't know. But the thing is, you know, they don't know how long they're going to be up last night. We're doing this on Monday night, so I talked to them on Sunday night, and so they're hoping to make it to school on Monday. And I know that Hogan Senke is also plays on the lacrosse team, and of course, spring sports start today. Now, and with the first day of practice, he says, "Yeah, I hope to make the school so I can go to the first day of practice." But yeah, like I said to him, and he agreed. Yeah. I think the coach will forgive him for that because of what happened on Sunday, but. but like Kyle Hart said to me, you know, basically, you know, yeah, he can lead the North Shore State in points or whatever. That's all well and good, but nothing will take away from winning a state championship. He mentioned after that for the school and for the town, and he mentioned how much the student body came out at the Garden to support that team.
Yeah,
and because of that support, they're going to go back to Marblehead from the Boston Garden last night and ride around town to show the people in the town their appreciation, what they have done for the program to put them over the top into this position of winning the state championship.
Yeah. And I love the...
those kids, I mean, he's only a junior, but he did not, forget about, you know, the fans too. I mean, how much they supported the team, and then how much the team wanted to reward those fans by showing up. When they showed up back in Marblehead again, maybe right around town. Who knows? Maybe on the fire engine. Not sure. But the thing is, to show that, you know, they appreciated everything that they did from the stands to, you know, motivate them.
Yeah, and I love the alumni connection too. You know, because we had Tim Kalinowski on the show, and he's an assistant coach along with some fellow alumni, right?
Yeah, in fact, Tim Kalinowski and you have Liam Gillis and also Matt Coop, and they all three of them played together, but Tim also was a freshman on that 2011 team. And behind it all, and like Tim's grandfather, Tim Kalinowski's grandfather is Dick Lynch.
That's right.
Of course, everybody knows Dick Lynch. The former Danvers High School AD and he was a prominent coach in Swampscott football, baseball. Yep. Liam Gillis's grandfather, you know, coached under the great Stan Bondilevich of the Swampscott, in the Swampscott football program for many years as well.
Yeah. So there's Tim and Liam have our Marblehead kids that have like Swampscott relatives.
Matt Coopin has a Marblehead relative who's quite well known too, and Absolovich, who happens to be his grandfather as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, Matt Coopin, so I mean, the lineage runs deep on the talks about successful sports legacy.
Yeah. And Joe, we should mention, go ahead.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, of course, now like Dick Lynch, his son, of course, is Mike Lynch.
Yeah, Uncle Mike. You know, Uncle Mike is Tim's Uncle Mike is Mike Lynch of Channel 5 fame, right? For local Boston and local sports.
Yeah, I guess, I'm not sure how that runs. Second cousin, something like that. Second cousin.
I mean,
there's it's definitely there may be a second cousin, not an uncle so much, you know, Mike Lynch. But you can see there's a lot of good athletic genes in those families.
So yeah. You're trying to tell me that I'm incorrect.
No question about it.
You're trying to tell me that I'm incorrect in telling you that Mike Lynch is Tim Kalinowski's uncle, even though I interviewed Tim last week about it.
Joe, I'm not saying that.
Where are you?
Like I said, I'm not totally familiar with how that.
I don't care
down,
if you're familiar or not. Sparkly. I'm familiar with it. I interviewed him last week. See, this is why we should have a podcast ourselves, because I will call you out, McConnell.
You talk all the time anyway.
All right, Joe. We cleared it up. Like, even though I just interviewed the kid last week, you're like, "Oh, I think he's his cousin." No, Uncle Mike Lynch. Okay, his
thank you.
Mike Lynch's sister is Tim Kalinowski's mother. There you go. That means he's an uncle.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're better to decipher those things than I am.
Well, Joe, on a, let me something.
I appreciate.
Go ahead.
Say again. No, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, we should segue into what also made this state championship victory very special, and you mentioned this off air, was the fact that we know somewhere that there was a big fan of Marblehead watching this somewhere in another world. And that's Scott Cooper, who, you know, passed away recently, you know, over the past year or so. And he was such a dedicated reporter, you know, for local sports newspapers. And he was a big fan of Marblehead. Swampscott guy, but a big beat writer for the Marblehead scene. And he just loved this one.
Oh yeah, no question about it. I mean, Scott Cooper is the one reporter that would do this job for nothing because his reward was to make sure the kids got the proper recognition in a positive way, and he didn't care about game pay. Him and his camera at the end of the game, he would interview them the start of the game, unless the start of the game doesn't matter, and. You know, we'll make sure they got the quotes up on his Twitter account with me when I worked at the reporter. And all he cared about was the kids. Obviously he's a Swampscott guy, but Marblehead was very close to him at heart, to the point where a couple months before he passed away in August last year, when the boys lacrosse team made their run to the Final Four, I asked him to do a couple of games. He would have done it. You know, no question. He would have gone to them. But the thing is, he couldn't make it because he was feeling that ill, you know?
Yeah.
And he just didn't have the energy to do it. And I know that broke his heart, no question about it, because he wanted to be there for the kids. And right now, he's seen the success of the hockey team, and the hockey was just like his number one passion. He's having a smile. He probably has a smile on his face right now, no question about it.
100%.
You know, I think a lot of us in the media here might get caught up in bylines and, people praising us and all that. Scott was never like that. You know, I mean, you know, he took everything in stride and did the job for the community. Either Swampscott or Marblehead. Did the job for the kids. Either Swampscott athletes or Marblehead athletes.
Yeah.
He didn't care about anything else. Yeah. You know, and that was that was the most important thing in his life, is to cater to the kids, cater to the communities, and to inform them to the best of his ability.
Well said, Joe. Well said.
I'm sure that a couple of shots that hit the post yesterday at the Garden by Nauset, he had something to do with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Most likely. Definitely feeling Coop's vibe. He was a huge presence on the North Shore that is definitely missed. And when things like this happen, you miss him even more because, you know, he would have been eating this all up as a reporter.
Oh, no question. I mean, I would have to fight him. Hey, no, Scott, I'm going. No, he said, I'm going to go. Oh, okay, we'll both go. You can get all the videos out there. I'll just sit back and relax.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do we miss anything, Joe? I mean, it's a huge moment for Marblehead. And actually, we also on this show have Jake Vanna on. He's a Boxford kid from Masco. And guess what? This Jake Vanna kid might be like the most decorated North Shore athlete of all time. I know it's hard to say that now. What are you talking about? Harry Gannis and all that, right? But
I don't remember Harry Gannis. It was before my lifetime. But that's good.
You sure? I thought you covered him. Anyway.
Not quite.
All right.
But
Joe, Jake Vanna has now won six state titles. He's got one in soccer, two in hockey, and three in lacrosse. Probably win another one in lacrosse. He'll be tied with Tom Brady for seven. But he told me that there's a couple Marblehead kids that he knows on St. John's Prep that won the state title after Marblehead did on Sunday. And that's Jack Doherty and a kid named Ryan Finn, it looks like. So that's cool that, you know, there's some more Marblehead love happening on the prep team. You might want to follow up on that. Do a story in the Current.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being my editor.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm just saying that no, there's no question that there's a Marblehead influence at the prep. But I think they would definitely be a stronger influence at the prep if it wasn't for a lot of these coaches led by, you know, Jim Althoff and, you know, way back in 2009. They're keeping a lot of their homegrown talent in town. And that makes the difference in between winning programs and mediocre programs, no question. And but the prep gets a lot of good athletes, but Marblehead's also keeping a lot of their good athletes in town as well. So as an effect for both programs in a positive way, you know. But you know, you talk about the Marblehead hockey program. You know, Bobby Jackson was the head coach of that team in 2011. But his right hand man is now the assistant athletic director, Mark Tommy, and something should be said about him because he kind of bridges the generations in those 13 years. He was this head coach under Bobby Jackson, but also he was the assistant athletic director who takes care of all the sports programs now, but of course, hockey is his first love. You know, and something should be said about Mark Tommy as well. You know. It kind of bridges the gap between championships.
All right, Joe McConnell, Marblehead Current. You can catch his reporting on the Current, the hottest newspaper on the North Shore, the new kid on the block, marbleheadcurrent.org. Anything else we missed, Joe, before we let you off the hook?
No, that's it. I just want to make sure I got Mark Tommy in there, too, because he bridges the gap.
All right, well said. Good coverage of the headers state title 2024, first time since 2011. Marblehead hockey is the Northeastern Conference team of the 2010s and 2020s so far. So good for them.
Exactly. Well, they the only team in the Northeast Conference to win two wins
since then. Yeah. They're in we'll be talking about them like we were talking about the Saugus days and the three titles and the Danvers days with a couple titles, yeah. Gloucester with three. All in the period of like 93 to 2006. That was a great run for the Northeastern Conference. Great run. Yeah. But it's been quiet until Marblehead just picked it up. I love it.
Exactly. 1999, 2001, 2003, 2004, the Northeast Conference owned the state. And now maybe it's coming back a little bit too.
We shall see. Winthrop, if they only held their end of the bargain, because they were a favorite to do it in their division, but they didn't. They couldn't get it done. Yeah. Marblehead did.
I mean, you can't really. I hate MVPs because it's a team effort and all that. But obviously, Liam Birch, if he's not the best goalie in the North Shore, he's best goalie in the state, because when you can go into the tournament, play five tournament games, last game at the Garden, and only give up five goals total. That's pretty good.
Joe McConnell, Marblehead Current, thanks for joining us on the North Shore Sports Desk. We'll see you next time Marblehead wins the state title.
Probably, maybe, who knows? Could be in the springtime against with the boys across team.
All right, we'll talk soon, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, no problem, John. Appreciate it.
Bye.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
All right. Well, thank you to our two guests. Wonderful to talk to Jake and Joe. And let's get into Twitter's verse, the X verse. What's going on X? What's going on Twitter? We need to see. It's a lot of chirping going on in North Shore circles because of these state titles. So let's see what's out there at the moment. A couple hours ago at the time of this recording on Tuesday night of this week, Phil Stacey at @PhilStacey_SN. Local players being honored tonight at the Bruins home game versus Ottawa for winning Boston Bruins MIAA Sportsmanship Awards are Yasmin Gigaloni of Pawtucket Linfield North Reading Girls Hockey, Swampscott's Casey Litwin of St. Mary's Spartans, Liam Brooks of Danvers Hockey, and Jake Vanna of St. John's Prep Hockey. Jake, nice job, man. Sportsmanship Award, and he's a tremendous athlete, captain, going to Princeton. Jake, you are carving yourself a wonderful road. I'll tell you that much, my friend. All right, let's poke around. What else is happening on the North Shore, according to the Twitter's verse? Yeah, this was a big loss. Tom Cato, former Chelmsford football coach, Super Bowl winning coach in 1987 against Gloucester, broke my fifth grade heart when I went to Sullivan Stadium, it was, I believe, in Foxborough, and watched that 21-14 win for Chelmsford over Gloucester in the D2 Super Bowl. Man, was that heartbreaking. Of course, the final play of the game, or one of the final plays, was questionable. Questionable fumble, Joe Pasquina. We all know the drill in Gloucester. We all cringe, and we get a sick stomach when we think about it. But it was a horrible call and a fumble in the Chelmsford end zone. Chelmsford recovered. They should have never been a fumble. His knee was down. Clearly, the replay showed that, and Gloucester would have had another chance to punch it in the end zone. Three other chances, as a matter of fact. I believe that was first down. And look at how I'm talking about it, right? Still to this day. But Gloucester lost, you know, that goes down in the record books as a Gloucester loss, a Chelmsford win. And Tom Cato was the coach of that team. And then he came back, like, you know, 20 years later and coached in Gloucester, maybe more towards like
17 years later. And I was like a sports editor back then for Gloucester Times. So Cato coaching with Terry Silva, Cato on Terry Silva's staff, I believe, was amazing. Actually, maybe he was, he might have came in the Ingram era when Terry had left. I'm not sure. But fact is, Cato did coach in the Gloucester system, and that was so cool to have him be an assistant in Gloucester. This tweet is from at Fisherman GHS, sending our deepest sympathies out to the friends and family of former GHS football coach Tom Cato, who recently passed away. Coach Cato had a great impact on many student athletes throughout his many years and roles amongst Massachusetts football. Wonderful picture of him, too. God bless the Cato family. All right, now let's move on and get some more North Shore tweets. Matt Williams, Salem News, at Matt Williams underscore Salem News. Yeah, Matt tweets his story. I haven't read his story yet. Should be a good take. Matt's always got great perspective, always gets both sides and kind of mellows people out, if you will. There's a lot of talk about the, you know, Johnny Tye's goal there for the St. John's Prep that clinched the state title in the final second and with zero on the clock, really. It's like that goal for the Americans, right, in 1980, where they scored with like no time on the clock against the Russians. Huge goal. It was, you know, there's a lot of replays. Oh, the light's on and the puck isn't in the net yet. You know, I can't believe what I see with pictures and all that. You have to be there. You have to get the replay. And some people think it's clearly not a goal for the Prep. And that would have meant overtime against Winchester in that final. And Matt Williams tweets is okay, sports fans, hear me out. Don't blame the MIAA for the late St. John's Prep goal. I think what a lot of people are probably blaming is, oh, they should have replay. They should have instant replay. And you know what? Maybe it is food for thought. Maybe it is time for the MIAA to institute a rule that on state title day only, you don't want to hold up high school games with instant replay, right? State title games only, have replays on goals, baskets, you know, in the last, let's say, 3 minutes of a basketball game, maybe only third period. I don't know, right? I'm not going to just spout out a rule without looking deeply into what's behind that to get it done. But yeah, you know, they got the Jumbotron, they got the equipment from the Bruins. I mean, you think they would have all the tools they need to do instant replay, as it might be time. You know, it might be time to consider that after what happened with the Prep. Prep won fair and square. The referee called the goal. They are the state champs. No doubt about it. I mean, you cannot take that away. And by the way, they put themselves in a position. They put themselves in a position to be in that spot to get the game-winning goal. So they were pressing. And Tye was right there to put home that rebound. So good for them, you know. So let's move on to some more tweets. Let's see. A field walk-off extends winning streak to 5 straight for Salem State baseball. That looks pretty cool. Let's check out that one because it's not really a tweet. It's just a share of an article. So let's go to that story. Edward Field of Gloucester, my boy, my fisherman, delivered a 2-out RBI base hit with the bases loaded. This is from Salem State's website. RBI base hit with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th to give Salem State an 8-7 victory over Wentworth. I remember playing Wentworth at Salem, too. That was always a March game. So cold. On Tuesday afternoon at Central Campus Baseball Field, Vikings improved to 6-3 on the season, while the Leopards sink to 10-4. Now, any other North Shore kids do anything cool in this game? Let's take a quick peek. It doesn't look like that. A lot of outside of North Shore stuff happening. But yeah, Gloucester boy with the game-winning walk-off hit. Awesome. Endicott Athletics. This is an interesting one. Endicott becomes first varsity sport to earn number one national ranking in school history. Can you believe that? Imagine the pressure on these kids now. Endicott baseball, we used to beat them up in the late 90s, although they started to get a lot better in that last year. We still beat them pretty good, but they have turned the tables. They are the best team right now in Division III in the entire country, never mind this area. So they got the leg up over Gordon, Salem, all the NESCAC schools, everybody. You mentioned it. They are the number one team. That is awesome. Let's dig in a little bit, see if we get any North Shore connection.
work our way down the roster for the number one ranked Endicott Gulls baseball team. Yeah, Gloucester Mass, Caleb Clark, a junior. He went to Pingree. Who else? Jeez, is he the only one? Well, Peabody, St. Mary's of Lynn, John Mulready, catcher. He's a senior. Beverly's Noah Guancy. Hey, we know him, right? Paul's kid. He's on the roster as a freshman. Beverly kid. And so those three North Shore kids, let's see if any one of them is producing. Let's go to Caleb Clark out of Gloucester. Look at his game log for this year. He's been pretty quiet. Is he a pitcher? No, he's an outfielder. Looks like he got some appearances, a couple appearances against Colby, and just got no at bats, but he did score a run. He might have been a pinch runner. That's what his stats look like. Let's go back to our friend from Peabody and St. Mary's, John Mulready, the catcher. Check out his game log. He was an all academic all conference the last 2 years. Well done, John. Good job there. Yeah, he's been playing plenty. He's got he's absolutely playing a lot. And in this season, he is batting .353, 34 ABs, 12 hits. He's got 4 RBIs, 4 walks. So he's for a catcher, that's amazing. And he batted in 189 at bats, .339 last year, .340 as a sophomore. Got plenty of playing time there. Good job for John Mulready out of Peabody and St. Mary's of Lynn. Let's see if our boy Guancy in his young freshman days has got any looks. Looking at his game log, doesn't look like it yet. So Noah's waiting, biding his time, waiting for his spot on the Gulls to get in the field. Number one team in the country. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, all right, what do you think? Did we cover some good ground on Twitter? I think we did. I think we covered a lot of good ground here for the North Shore. Now, St. Mary's baseball, let's see. Day one complete at SMHBB10. Day one complete. Day two, we get better. The goal is a long climb up, and it's not an easy one. Be ready to go every day. They should know. They won multiple state titles. I think that's Derek Dana. That's probably behind that Twitter handle, pretty sure. All right, let's take a break and then let's wrap up with our final North Shore Winter Sports Report. Of course, we're going to focus on the three state title teams. Count them, 1, 2, 3 in hockey. We'll get to that after the break.
This is Peter Nikolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at pomodoripizzeria.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen, or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill. All right, North Shore Sports Desk, we're back for our final segment of the winter season. Definitely spring has started, for sure. It literally is spring, and spring sports has started. It started the Monday after the state final games in hockey, so right to it. But let's put the cap on this wonderful North Shore season, especially in hockey, you know. That's where the focus will be for the final minutes of our show here. Three state championships, St. John's Prep boys, Marblehead boys, and St. Mary's girls.
So let's break it down. Obviously, the talk of the day was the St. John's Prep 3-2 win over Winchester. Totally dominated Winchester in the third period and 24-5 for shots in the third period, 47-15 for the game, according to Hockey Night in Boston, which I'm citing right now, hnibnews.com. Yeah, so that win by Johnny Tye, that goal by Johnny Tye does it for the Prep, another state title. You know, Christian Hansen has three now with the boys, two in the last three seasons, and they are literally the GOAT of North Shore boys hockey. So, yeah, you know, controversial goal, obviously, but it is in the books. It is the rule. I agree with Matt Williams of Salem News, who wrote about not blaming the MIAA or the Prep or whoever. Like, you know, no one's going to come down and overrule a decision just for the hell of it. You have to have rules in place. And I think I disagree with Matt. I think he says that no instant replay should be held at anywhere. There's too many like butterfly effects, I think was his comment, but I think they could put it in the final state final, considering the game is at the Garden, the technology's there. The Garden would probably be more than happy to, I would think, right, give the equipment to the high school teams for that one day and let them use it on goals in the final, you know, period, right, for every state final. What would be the harm there? So anyway, I think that's the case, but the fact is the Prep won another state title, and they deserve a lot of credit. 22-3-0. Let's see. You got sophomore blue liner J.R. Goldstein connected on a pass from Carson Irving on a goal, and we know that Ty scored that goal as well. He had two. He had a goal early in the third period to tie it, and then he had that game winner. Winchester had a 2-1 lead. Pretty big day from Aiden Emmerich, their goalie. He really stepped it up, but just that one rebound, right? One rebound at the very end where Ty was in the right place at the right time. So let's go on to Division III. Marblehead, of course. With that great run 13 years later, another state title, only Northeastern Conference team to win a couple since 2010. You know, Northeastern Conference really had a golden era from like, what, 93 to 2006 when Gloucester won its third. You know, Danvers had a couple in there. Saugus had a few. It was a great run. And, you know, since 2011, you get three state titles, Beverly 2014, Marblehead in 11 and 24. So this was a great, great season for Marblehead. We talked all about it with Joe McConnell. Leo Burge got the shutout in net. He's back next year. 33 saves, according to Hockey Night in Boston. Number six seed beats the number one seed. All they needed was the goal from Avon Radulski, like we talked about earlier. He's a sophomore. So, yeah, Marblehead looking good, getting their interviews in the Garden after, getting to play in the Garden, all good. They had the alums as coaches, as assistant coaches. So we love it. It was all good. First loss since December 13th. Can you imagine? Shutout, blanked. Great job, Marblehead boys. On the win, great for the town, and stunning game and season for Marblehead. Started 0-6, they were 2-8. I think I said that so many times. Coach Mark Marfioni, second year head coach, getting the state title is unreal. Captains Charlie Grenier, Hogan Sedke, you know, great job, Marblehead, and that was I think that was the third to last game. Then the Prep came on the ice, and then Tewksbury and Boston Latin after that. So congratulations to Marblehead. And let's talk about St. Mary's girls, shall we? And it was a freshman who was the hero of the day, Alyssa Norden, St. Mary's, banging home a loose puck, according to the Hockey Night in Boston again. At the left post, 5:36 of the third overtime to give the Spartans that 5-4 win over Notre Dame. 8 seconds into St. Mary's fourth power play of the game, that was. Line mates Bella Freitas and Kira Toomey assisted on the goal. Frank Pagliuca told Hockey Night in Boston this game could have gone either way. It was one of those games where it was going to take one opportunity, one bounce. We got down 3-1, getting outplayed, but we kept playing. That's been our motto all year. The kids stayed focused. They battled their hearts out. It looks like the Cougars of Notre Dame of Hingham tied the score like at the very end of regulation. An icing call led to a faceoff in front of Spartans goalie Gianna Tringali, 12.1 seconds left. And then Devin Moore's centering pass, it came across the crease to Emma Burke, who calmly backhanded it home in the open side with 7.3 seconds left in regulation. And then those girls battled out for three overtimes with the Spartans getting the job done over the number one seeded Cougars. Great job, Spartans, finishing 23-3-1. Great job. I know we had Frank Pagliuca on the show a year ago talking about the close call and almost winning it, and here he is. Matter of fact, we're trying to get him on, so we'll still see if we can get Frank P. to come on the show. Great job. So that's it. That's the winter. Three state titles for hockey. Awesome season. Congrats to all the winners. And we'll call it a show. And we're going nowhere. The spring has started. We'll be talking about spring hopes and dreams next week. We're still doing the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week. We'll resume that shortly, probably in April. Definitely in April. We'll have one more show without it. But we'll have some great spring athletes to talk about in April from Cape Ann and Moynihan Lumber, of course, and Super Sub. Look out for those kids coming on the post on msrnersports.com with videos of the Beverly Winter Sports captains from Super Sub on March 16th. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one.